Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. It's your time. There's a word from the Lord today that I believe is a timely word there from the prophet Jeremiah. The very first chapter, we'll be reading verses 4 through 10. In Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. And somebody's directions are trying to take me someplace that I'm not prepared to go. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. I want to preach for a while today, and for as the Lord leads in the month of September, from the sermonic title, Stuck in Neutral. Stuck in Neutral. I have great Saturday morning memories of me and my father getting up early and driving across town to do lawn work. He didn't have a business. He was a one-man operation, but people liked his work, a master edger. And he knew how to make a yard look good. He would take me along, and I would do the mowing. And we would spend time in the morning hanging out together. When I drive by that same house when I'm back home, it's the Wadsworth home. We'd park on the side because we could not park in her driveway because it may have been leaking oil, but we came up the side. And Dad would do his part, I would do mine. And in addition to getting $5 for the job, what I remember most and enjoyed most is that as we headed back home, Dad would pull to the side of the road, leave the car running, and he would get out and walk around, and that was a signal that I would get to drive. Mind you, I was only 13 years old. I would drive right through the middle of town. But those moments came and they began in the front yard when he taught me how to drive. You knew that once you got in the car, made sure it was in park. And then you would begin to turn the engine on and you would move past the aura to neutral to drive. If by chance you got stuck in neutral, no matter how deep you pressed the pedal, the car was going nowhere. Some of y'all grew up in the stick shift era too. I've done both. But it was in a moment like that that I began to think about how we're behind the wheel of life's situations. Amen? So put yourself in the driver's seat and discover what it takes for you not to become stuck in neutral. No one intends to get stuck. No one signs up for getting stuck in a place that's going nowhere fast. But life circumstances will cause us to take some detours and some disappointments. We'll find ourselves sometimes stalled, even stop, because we're stuck. My God, I ask today, has anyone ever been stuck? in a place, in a situation that no matter what you did, as long as you stayed neutral, you were going nowhere fast. In the text this morning, we meet one by the name of Jeremiah. It turns out his name in Hebrew means the Lord exalts. His father was a priest. He grew up in a town about 3 miles from Jerusalem, and Jeremiah was a teenager, not much more than 14 or 15 years old. And what the first chapter shows me is that Jeremiah is telling his own story. Who tells your story better than you can tell it? Ever had somebody try to tell your story and the facts are wrong and the year is wrong and they declare it's your story? You say, no, it's not. He is able to tell his own story. The Lord came and he spoke with me and he knew me in such a way before I was even born, before I was even formed, he knew me. And don't you know that God knows you like that? I know you think you're the best thing since chewing gum. But God is the one who knows in advance what you are going to be, what you're going to do. Isn't that amazing? That blows me away. He says, I've appointed you. Jeremiah remembers that moment that God spoke to him, and yet he was stuck in neutral. And when you're stuck in neutral, a few things happen. First of all, you begin to make excuses. And you have to realize that God makes provisions. And he's a God of promotion. Excuses. Verse 6 says, alas, which means it's an expression of sorrow and grief and apprehension. Jeremiah was not trying to do what God was asking him. He says, here's my excuse. I don't know how to speak. And I'm too young. Those were his excuses. I'm too young. I'm a teenager. I don't know how to speak. There's some apprehension about doing what you're asking me to do. You ever found yourself in that place that your situation seems so big, but God is telling you that you can do it? Come here, Moses. Exodus 4 and 10. Moses has a great assignment. Go and tell Pharaoh, I said to let my people go. He says, listen, you got the wrong one. I'm a man of slow speech. Excuse. He said, don't you know I'm the one that made your mouth? Amen. Luke 9, 61, 62, when Jesus is leading his disciples, said, listen, I'll follow you, but let me go back and say goodbye to my people first. Excuse. And maybe your excuse has been now, you know, I'm past that age now. That's a young people's assignment. But have you made an excuse today as to why you are still stuck in neutral, not moving ahead when God has already done an inventory of your life? He knows what you can do. Can I just say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I didn't say some things. I said all things. How many folk are willing to take him at his word today? Oh, any all people in the house today? And we come up with excuses. I put myself in the mix. Well, I'll catch you the next time around. Our famous line is, let me pray about it. And we ain't prayed about nothing. Oh, I know I'm on somebody's toes. I'm on my own toes today. But the God that we serve realizes where we are, and he has an answer for our excuse. How many folks some of y'all are parents. Don't give me an excuse. Just do what I ask you to do. God makes provisions, and Jeremiah remembers it. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. I recall some years ago a cassette tape I heard, and I've made mention of it in the past, to where at a preacher's conference, the speaker said, you know, we got to be careful that when he puts his words in our mouth, that we don't mess it up. That we don't claim it's our great idea, it's our quote. But when he puts his words in your mouth, they'll come out right. Amen. And he said to him, I know you say you can't speak. I know you say that you've got this excuse, but I am committed to putting my word in your mouth. No need to worry. Isaiah 6. Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his whole train filled the temple. And then the doors began to move, and God says, there one who will go for me. Yeah, I'm a man of unclean lips. You don't know my background. You don't remember me in the disco days, and you don't remember me back on the dance floor, and you don't remember me. You don't know me before there were funny cigarettes you can buy from the store. You don't know me when it was a dry counter. Can I just go there and lay out a little bit of my life? Maybe you can relate to that thing. He said, listen, I'm going to send the seraphims with a hot coal to touch your lips. God makes provision when you have an excuse. He shows you a way where you can do it. He provides. Look at the people. 5,000 were fed with the little boy's lunch. Does he not make provision? Can I just go here? Has he made provisions for you? Didn't think you were going to make it. You were pulling your hair out all night, but God said, I got this. I will supply all of your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And he gives us his word. It's in the word. I don't know what to say. Man, there's a whole data bank of words to say. It's all in the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And so there are plenty of things for us to say as we are stuck. Are you getting out of gear now? You still revving up your engine and you're going nowhere. And what does it sound like when you're putting your foot to the gas and you're in neutral? Oh, come on, some of y'all had driver's ed. Yeah, the knob may be different, but when you're in neutral, you know it. And so there's this sense of God making provisions. He's a God who does not accept excuses, but he's a God of promotion. Verse 10 says, see, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Remember this sense of being exalted or promoted? Remember I told you that the very name of Jeremiah means the Lord exalts? Well, my God, there's a clue. I know your name might be Johnny or Susie, but God has attached something to your name to remind you of what you can do. Your name means the Lord exalts. 1 Peter 5 and 6 tells us to humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will do what? He will exalt you in due time. Any due time people in the house today, you've been waiting, Deacon Roy and them saying it, it's your time. God has made a way for you. Amen. You have been promoted, not necessarily with the salary, and I got a new step. You can still not be satisfied with more money on the job. I know I'm talking to somebody. But when God exalts you, he will allow you to shine. When God exalts you, he'll give you favor. When God exalts you, the world can't do you no harm. When God exalts you, you can say, I got peace like a river. When God exalts you, you've got joy unspeakable. When God exalts you, I'm glad he's the one who gives the promotion. Amen. Oh, that's good news today. And so in my own life, from driving on dirt roads, and for going to the little two-lane road through town, the day came when I came to the big highway. Only had one interstate, but man, when we got on that road, the speed was a little faster because God had exalted you in some way. And, you know, I tell you, it's a highway that starts right where you are today. And I assume by now you found that there's a D in your car. And that means there's a D in your life that means drive. And God has given you the what you need to drive through problems and situation. But this highway I'm talking about is not made for driving. The songwriter says there's a highway to heaven. And none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. And every now and then when you're walking up the King's highway, you'll pass somebody who's stuck in the ditch of life. And some of y'all country folk know that when you're in neutral, somebody's able to push you and said, put it in neutral. And that way we'll push you on to the next level. You've been called to help somebody today that once you get unstuck and get in drive, don't drive by your neighbor and don't drive by a stranger, but know that the God that you and I serve, he will push you. Isn't that good news today? Well, maybe I see you on the side of the highway. I'm just so glad today that Jesus gave me a push. And he did it on an old rugged cross. He had to push me because I was going nowhere. And he pushed me and he pushed me until I said, I yield. I yield. What must I do to be saved? Well, I was sinking deep in sin, stuck. I was far from a peaceful shore, stuck. And very deeply stained within, stuck. Seeking to rise no more, stuck. But the master, stuck of the sea, stuck. He heard my despairing cry, stuck. And from the water, stuck, he lifted me, stuck. Now safe am I. Can I report today that it was love that lifted me? It was love that lifted me. That when I couldn't get my life in the right gear, it was love. When I messed up, it was love. When I fell short, it was love that lifted me. And so today, as I take my seat, you don't have to be stuck in neutral. I declare today you put your hand on the gospel chain and begin to move and know that God will. Oh, yes, he will. He'll take care of you. He'll watch over you. He'll bless you. I refuse to be stuck in No. Forgetting those things which are behind. Stuck in neutral. Part two next Sunday. Come on, let's stand today. How we bless the Lord. Yeah, we've shut the ignition off. We've left the car frustrated. All you got to do is just shift. And then God will take you to a low place. Some of y'all got that D1 and D2. Father, we come today and how we thank you. Thank you for the testimony of Jeremiah, who records the story as he remembers it. The day when God approached him and said, listen, I need you. He wouldn't take excuses. He made provisions, and he was promoted. Lord, if there's one today in this place stuck, I'm glad that you send the tow truck from heaven to give them a lift and to take them high. If there's somebody who knows not the Savior, somebody who's never confessed Christ, don't know what it means to be saved or converted, I pray in the name of Jesus that you might touch their heart today. And if they don't understand, may we explain it to them. Here's how I got to know Jesus. Tell them the whole story to our children, to our family. Father, I thank you for that soul who wants to make a decision. As those eyes are closed today, It's a personal decision. Think about it today and say, Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want to live for you. And the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Save someone today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a praise. A few announcements for you this morning.